On Sunday mornings, we have been in a series in the book of 1 Corinthians. Tonight, we're moving just momentarily into 2 Corinthians, chapters 8 and chapter 9. Last Sunday, of course, was our missions emphasis Sunday, where we took a moment to spotlight missions and missionaries and church planting, the importance of those endeavors, and just the reality is without those endeavors, then there are going to be a lot of folks that go unreached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need missionaries. We need missions. We need church planters and laborers into his field. And last Sunday, we handed out what we call our faith promise card. And now there's many different ways that a church can fund missions, but I believe that we do it the biblical way through faith, relying on the Lord Jesus Christ to supply the need both of the church and both of the missionary. And so tonight I want to give us just a primer on, well, what is faith promise giving? You're given the card, you're given options of how much the Lord lays on your heart to give each week. But, well, what really is it? And so there's several verses I want us to read here. We'll start there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we'll begin reading at verse number... let's begin at verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we'll begin there at verse number 1. This, of course, is the Macedonian example of giving two missions. And verse number 1, chapter 8, the Bible says this: "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty, might be rich." And then skip down to chapter 9. Chapter 9, 2 Corinthians, and look there if you would, verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "Therefore," this is connecting what has come before it in chapter 8 and the first four verses of chapter 9. "Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." And so tonight we're going to look at these two passages of Scripture and define for us just what faith promise giving is. And if we're going to figure out what faith promise giving is, the first thing we have to do is figure out what it is not. And what faith promise giving is not, it is not a pledge. It is not something that, I'm going to pledge this and get this in return. No, it's not that. It's also not a commitment, in the sense that it's not a commitment to the church. It's not a commitment to the pastor. It's not a commitment even to one another, because we said this on Wednesday night, for those of you that were here on Wednesday night, that once those faith promise cards are turned in, we just tally them up and add up what was committed for the year. We give that total to you, and then those faith promise cards, they get put into a file for the year, and I don't look at them again for the rest of the year. We know the goal that we have in mind for the year, and then it's just up to the person who committed that amount to give that as the Lord has led them to do so. So you don't get any, you don't get any bill collector calls, so to speak, if you fall behind 2 weeks or more, and all of a sudden the pastor, the deacons, they start calling and saying, "Hey, you fell behind in this. When are you going to get it caught up?" And no, there's none of that, because it's a commitment. Yes, but not between the church, not between the pastor, not between one another. But it's a commitment between you and between the Lord. It's a commitment between me and God. It's a commitment to the missionaries. When you make that commitment, now they don't know you've made that commitment. They don't know you've made that amount or whatever the case may be. But when you turn in that faith promise card, you're saying, "This is what the Lord has led on my heart to support missionaries and missions and church planting and all the rest." But then it's also a commitment not only to God, to the missionaries, but to yourself. This is what the Lord laid on our heart. This is what we're going to do for the Lord's work and for the Lord's harvest. And I believe beyond any shadow of a doubt that, and you've probably often heard it said that you can't outgive God. You cannot give the Lord. Well, I believe that comes especially true when it comes to missionaries and when it comes to missions and when it comes to taking care of missionaries and church planters and when they're passing through and all the rest. Because you realize these missionaries, they're giving up, most of them, the comforts of home. Yes, we have a few missionaries. They're still here, missionaries to the States, Brother Dundon to Philadelphia. We have Brother DeSantis. He travels, but even within those folks that are here within the States, they still give up quite a lot. You think of Brother DeSantis tonight. They've given up their home. They travel in a travel trailer, and they go around, and that's their home. And I don't know about you, but I don't know if I could do that. I like to, once everything's said and done, I like to go home. I like to rest and relax state, but the thing about always being on the road, and that's giving up something. They gave up their home. Brother Dundon, they went there, you know, last week was their 1 year anniversary of that church plant there in Philadelphia. It's going to take a long time before that church plant is self-sufficient and self-stabilizing to where it can support itself without the support of other churches. And so these missionaries, our missionaries, they are really our frontline soldiers in the gospel advancement and giving the gospel to a lost and dying world. And where would the world be? Where would folks be if it were not for missionaries who at some point they received the call of God on their life, and they made a commitment that said, "Okay, Lord, here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, I'll go. And I'll be your ambassador. I'll be your representative." And so it's a commitment to God, to the missionaries, to yourself. It's faith promise is just that. It's by faith above and beyond your tithe, your 10% of what the Lord has already commanded in his word. And so what it's not, well, this is what I can do. That's not faith. Maybe you can comfortably do $50 a week, and you know you can do that. Faith says, "Okay, I can give 50, but maybe I'm going to try for 55. Maybe I'm going to try for 60. That's what faith says, and that's what faith does. And so we see what it is, what it is not. But then we see several things in the scripture tonight of what faith promise giving must be. Number one, faith promise giving must be a commitment. It must be a commitment. Look there, if you would, chapter 9 and verse 7 again. Chapter 9 and verse 7, the Bible says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So the very first thing faith promise giving must be is a commitment. You must purpose in your heart that missions is a worthwhile endeavor. You must purpose in your heart that missions is worth the investment, that missionaries and church planners and the missions work is worth of the giving of the time and the energy and the money and the finances and all the rest as he purposeth in his heart. It must be a commitment. But not only that, secondly, we see tonight, it must be done cheerfully. It must be done cheerfully. You're there in verse number 7. Again, the Bible says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Notice what it says, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, when it comes time to give to missionaries, sometimes it's hard for folks to give to missions because, we don't always know or see the results of what's happening. And so we give to missions, but it's kind of, I don't really want to, but I guess I have to. But you see, no, that's not what God wants. That's grudgingly. That's of necessity. He wants us to be a cheerful giver. You know how we can learn to become a cheerful giver when it comes to missions? Make sure you stop by and you read the missionary letters. You see what the Lord is doing on the mission field and how he's working. And we said this a couple weeks ago that you read a missions letter for a missionary we support, and they list so many people saved. Well, because we support them, because we give to them, because the Lord has allowed us to partner with them, the Bible tells us and teaches us that that is fruit unto our account. We had a small part in that. So somebody, they go to Scotland, for example, and somebody in Scotland gets saved. Well, because of our missions investment to a missionary in Scotland, then we had a small part in that person getting saved. We had a small part in that person getting baptized, and that person getting discipled, and that person growing and going in the Lord and being what God would have him to be. And you know, when you think about it that way, when you think about the fact that there are people getting saved, there are people joining the church, just like it is here. You know, when someone comes and they get baptized or they get saved or they join the church, what are we? We're happy, aren't we? We're cheerful. Well, guess what? When we learn of one of our missionaries, they have somebody saved, they have somebody baptized, they have somebody join the church, we should be just as happy. We should be just as ecstatic. We should be just as cheerful. Because number one, that means somebody got saved first and foremost. But then secondly, we had a small part in it because the Lord allowed us to partner with those missionaries. So it's a commitment, but it must be done cheerfully. But then not only that, thirdly, it must be done liberally. It must be done liberally. Notice, if you would, chapter 8. And I love chapter 8 and the way it gets started. Notice there, if you would, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And that word liberality just simply means that it was a sacrificial type of giving. It was given freely to the work of the Lord. And what amazes me about this is that this church here at Macedonia, they gave liberally. They gave sacrificially. They gave freely. Seemingly with no regard for what the cost was. But here's the surprising part, or here's the encouraging part. That's found in the first part of the verse. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. abounded unto the riches of their liberality. This was a church going through a great trial of affliction. This was a church that did not have much riches. This was a church that did not have much to give. But because of their joy in the Lord, they gave anyway. And then notice verse number 3. For to their power I bear record. Yea, notice what it says. And beyond their power they were willing of themselves. And so we see, not only did they give liberally, but they gave willingly. Even in the midst of the trial, even in the midst of the affliction, even in the midst of the poverty, they still saw the need for giving to the Lord's work. They still saw the need for giving to the Lord and to missions. But then not only that, not only was it willingly, you notice there, verse number 3, it says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. You know, sometimes giving the faith promise missions and giving the missions, it's going to just come down to sometimes we give beyond our power. Because some weeks come, and listen, you know, we know we made a commitment. And listen, I'm not naive to not notice what's going on around us with the fact that inflation and things are going up, prices are going up. And you go to the grocery store, just this week, Mandy went to the grocery store and we got a case of Mountain Dew. She got her case of soda and we got a thing of Sam's Club water. And so three little items. That was it. $25 just for three little items. And then she went back a couple days later, did our regular grocery shopping, and said, okay, here's the budget. We went $40 over that budget because of what prices have just kind of skyrocketed to. And so I understand that some weeks, you know, it's going to come, okay, you know, do I give my missions offering, you know, or do I, you know, or do I put this to where it needs to go in the home? And, you know, again, that's between you and the Lord, but where does faith take over? Where does faith come in? And that's where it says there in verse 3, beyond their power. Because there's going to come some weeks where you say, you have that conversation with the Lord that says, Lord, I just can't do it this week. And the Lord's going to say, are you going to trust me? Or are you going to trust yourself? And what are you going to do? Are you going to do it in your own power or beyond your power? Are you going to rely on him and his power? And so we see it's to be done willingly, beyond our power. But then notice, if you would, verse number 5, chapter 8 and verse number 5. The Bible says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. There's a great truth here in verse number 5. That before we give anything to the Lord, monetarily speaking, we must first give ourselves to the Lord. We must first give ourselves to God. Notice, turn over if you would. It wasn't in my notes, but Romans. Book of Romans. And I believe chapter number 12. Yep, Romans chapter 12. Because before we can do anything for God, whether it's serving him, whether it's giving money, whether it's giving time, whether it's giving talent, he must first have us. He must first have our hearts. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. We see the Bible says this, I beseech you, or I implore you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, tonight the Lord wants us to, you see, he's not interested necessarily in our treasure. He's not interested in our time. He's not interested in our talents. He's not interested in what we can do for him. But what he is interested in is, have we given ourselves to him? Are we being that living sacrifice? You know what the problem with a living sacrifice is? It wants to keep wiggling. It wants to keep moving. And you know what? Sometimes when the Lord calls us to do something, like we're seeing on Wednesday nights with Jonah, instead of just submitting to the Lord's will, we want to kind of wiggle our way out of it. And instead of giving ourselves wholly over to him, we want to kind of hold on to our own way of doing things. But we see here, he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And then you notice the phrase, which is your reasonable service. You see, tonight the Lord never asks us to do anything that is unreasonable. He never asks us to do anything that he does not give us the power to do. And so before we ever give the Lord anything money-wise, time-wise, treasure-wise, we must first give ourselves to the Lord. We must first give our hearts, ourselves first to God. And you know what? If he first has us, if he has us completely and fully, everything else will flow down. Because if he has us, he'll have our time. If he has us, he'll have our talents. If he has us, he'll have our treasures. And so that's very important for us to realize tonight. We must give ourselves first to God. And then secondly and finally tonight, you say, well, Pastor, what's the results of faithful giving? What you say, what do we get out of it if we're faithful in our commitments and giving to the Lord? Well, number one, I believe we see that we go from rags to riches. We go from rags to riches. Notice there, if you would, chapter 8 and verse number 9. Chapter 8, verse number 9. The Bible says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. We see here that one of the first results of faithful giving is that we become, we go from rags to riches, and we do that through some bountiful blessings. Notice there, if you would, chapter 9. And verse number 6. Chapter 9 and verse number 6, the Bible says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I said it before, I'll say it again. There are untold blessings when missions becomes a priority. When missionaries, when you just love on missions and missionaries and all the rest. I remember one year we had our missions conference there in Oklahoma, and we had that Tuesday morning we had a. We had Sundays, we had normal Sunday services, Monday night service, then we had Tuesday morning service, and a lunch following the service, Tuesday night and Wednesday night. And Tuesday morning, we had, about four or five different missionary families in with us. And Brother Bob and Miss Debbie, we had a missionary to India in, and they had them out to the house, and I had all their kids there at the house, and they had kind of this, behind the house walking trail, and just Nate, they were in the middle of nowhere, but it was beautiful, and they do that, and we had a running joke around the church that when missionaries came in, we never had to take them out to a restaurant, because we had something better than a restaurant, Debbie's Kitchen. And we had one missionary in one year, Brother Schulte. He was an evangelist. He traveled around, and we took him over to Miss Debbie's one night for dinner. And then I think it was a Saturday night. And every night after that, he's like, "Can we go to Debbie's for dinner?" I said, "I don't know. I got you got to ask her." And but we had people in the church that whenever we had missionaries come in, they would love on them and take care of them and try and seek to be a blessing to them. And oftentimes when you try to be a blessing, you get blessed as a result. You get blessed in return. And so we see that we have some bountiful blessings there in verse number 6. We see it says again, "He which showeth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which showeth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Missionaries come in, get to know them. Missionaries come in, or our missionaries there on the back, their contact information is there. Write it down, send them a card, give them a call, send them a text message, whatever the Lord leads you to do. I know when we first got there, Church at Oklahoma, Brother Bob, he comes into my office and he asks me if it was okay, if because over the years he became close to some of the missionaries and wanted to know if it was okay if he stayed in touch with them and talked to them and visited with them and different things like that. I say, absolutely, keep that going because, that's what a church should be because, our support of a missionary should be it should be more than just monetarily. We should call them, write them, send them cards, send them text messages, whatever the case may be. About once or twice a month, I'll try and either email or text or update one of our missionaries to see how they're doing, see what the Lord's doing in their work, outside of the prayer letters that they send. And so we see that there are some results tonight of faithful giving. But not only that, there are people getting saved. There are people getting baptized. There are people joining churches. There are people being reached with the gospel. And if we never got anything out of it, those blessings would be more than enough to support missions and missionaries and church planting and all of the rest. So tonight, the truth remains. You can never outgive God. And you can never go wrong giving and giving to missions. Missionaries, they hold a special place in our heart. We love missionaries. And I want us to be a church that when missionaries come through, they know that they're loved. They know that they're going to be taken care of. They know that this is going to be a place of rest and respite and a place where they can just kind of be themselves a little bit and just know that they'll be taken care of. So that's what faith promise is. Just by faith, a commitment between us and the Lord that we're going to support missions and missionaries and church planting and just see souls saved and lives changed. Because they're going to reach people we can't reach. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not going to Scotland anytime soon. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to Ecuador anytime soon. I'm not going to, where else? I'm not going to Japan anytime soon. I'm not going to Israel anytime soon. I might be going to Philly sometime soon. I don't know. But I'm definitely not traveling anytime soon and traveling around in a camp. But we have those who are. And there are people being reached all across the world because of faithful support of churches just like this. I remember back when COVID hit and like many churches, we shut down. And like many churches, the giving kind of stopped for a while. We encouraged people. We set up the online donations. Not one online donation ever came in. We would encourage people to mail their offering or drop it off at the church or whatever the case may be. And, well, inevitably, What would happen is that about once a month, everybody would send their offering in kind of all at once. Now, that's great, but, you know, for a small church, you know, it's kind of, you know, a week-to-week type of thing. And so you try and budget to where you get that in every week. But now all of a sudden, I was just coming in all at one lump sum. Well, then once you got everything paid or whatever the case may be, well, now you didn't have things for the rest of that particular month. But one of the things we were concerned about was, are we going to be able to continue to support our missionaries? Because if we were getting hit hard by it, they certainly were getting hit hard by it. And, you know, we praise the Lord. We never missed the missionary payment, never missed the bill payment, all any of that, but never missed the missionary payment. I can tell you tonight, there were churches that they were not so fortunate. There were churches that they had to drop missionaries, that they had to stop support because the support just wasn't coming in to the church to continue supporting them. And, you know, we need to be cognizant of that and just make sure we do our best to keep these commitments this year. Because you see it there in your bulletin this year, and we had a couple more cards come in this morning. So this total in your bulletin does not reflect those cards that came in this morning. But we had a faith promise commitment of $6,916 for 2023. Now, that means each month we need to receive $576 to meet that goal. But what's I consider even awesome is the fact that it was more than double last year's commitment by $3,906 than 2022, and so that's wonderful. That's a blessing, and you know, if that holds, if that sticks, we'll be able to increase the support of our missionaries there on the back wall, and still put something into the surplus of the missions account, and allow us to do other things throughout the year. You know, Brother DeSantis, he just had one of the tires go out on his travel trailer. The benefits of having a surplus in the missions account and all the missionaries paid, something like that happens, you know, we can say, all right, let's send him $100 to help with the cost of that tire. Another missionary comes and they have a need, you know, we'll be able to help with that. Now, I realize we can't, you wouldn't believe the number of phone calls and emails I get on a weekly basis of missionaries wanting to come in and present their work, and they're seeking support. The need is there. And I realize we can't help everybody. We can't take everybody on. But if we'll be faithful, there will be those folks we can help and we can be a blessing to, and we can extend a helping hand to when the Lord lays that on our heart. And so let me just encourage us tonight. Let's be found faithful to our missions giving in 2023. Now let's pray tonight.